Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for February 13th, 2019, looking at the second portion of Luke chapter 24. We'll begin in verse 28. They came near to the village where they were going, and Jesus acted like he would go further. They urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is almost evening, and the day is almost over." He went in to stay with them. When he had sat down at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Then he vanished out of their sight. They said to one another, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us along the way, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" They rose up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." They related the things that happened along the way, and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. As he said these things, Jesus himself stood among them, and said to them, Peace be to you. But they were terrified, and filled with fear, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is truly me. Touch me and see, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still didn't believe for joy, and wondered, he said to them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took them and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send out a promise of my Father on you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he blessed them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. This is the word of our God. The events of Easter Sunday evening. Jesus had a busy day. They come near to the village, and Jesus acts like he's going on further, and the two people, Cleopas and the other, say, "Stay with us." But the details of his appearance, especially his appearance when those disciples sprint their way back to Jerusalem, the details are helpful and insightful. First of all, in that upper room, verse 33, they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them. All right, so we've got the title is the 11, but if we compare with the Gospel of John, you know, John chapter 20, with this chapter, we see that title 11 actually refers to 10 people, because Thomas wasn't there that first weekend, that first Easter Sunday evening. And then the others that are with them could be a fairly large group. As we get into the first two chapters of the book of Acts, we see that about 40 days after the resurrection, there's a group of about 120 disciples. And so when Jesus appears in the upper room, Thomas isn't there, and a large group of other disciples, I don't know that you would fit 100 people in that upper room, at least the way that I've envisioned it. I've never been there. But it's a fairly large group that includes apostles, except one was missing, that includes all the rest of the lay people as well. And when Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be to you," what's important to note here, and Luke doesn't emphasize it in his account here, but what's important to note is if we compare this gospel chapter with the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive anyone their sins, they are not forgiven." That's what we call the keys. The keys is really, at its basic understanding, law and gospel. That you and the content of that audience in the upper room really alludes to the reality of whom these keys belong to. The keys belong to Christians, to you and to me, lay people and the apostles in this case, or called ministers alike. The keys and that authority to announce forgiveness or non-forgiveness belong to the to everybody, to every Christian. And so then we get into the topic of the Spirit. They said, verse 37, they supposed that they had seen a spirit, or they thought they had seen a ghost. There's no such thing as ghosts. Not, go all Peter Venkman on everybody, but there's no such thing as ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts at all. We know that when a person dies, his or her soul departs to stand in judgment before God, and then they enjoy their, they are sent to their eternal dwelling, either in heaven or in hell. And then at the end of time is like the public announcement of all of those personal private judgments, where Jesus says to the believers, "Come enjoy your master's happiness." Jesus says to the unbelievers, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so there's no souls of or spirits of the previously departed spooking around. We might remember our personally and dearly loved, and especially if we built a life with them for 40, 50, 60, 70 years, we might feel like a very strong connection to these people. But that person, we can be content and glad that that person is safe with Jesus, and that in his good time, Jesus will take us to be with him too. So there's no such thing as ghosts. Verse 37, I like the translation of this Bible, actually. Maybe that's the first time I've said it. They supposed that they had seen a spirit. And so they thought, is this some sort of an apparition, some sort of an angel or a demon? Because that's what the ghost accounts, if they are of reality, then we're talking about angels and demons, and usually demons. These are personal beings. They are actual beings. The number doesn't increase. The number doesn't decrease. They are the demons, at least, are angels that God had created, and sometime after the seventh day of creation had rebelled against God and chosen to continue their rebellion as they fed against God and all of his grace in every way. And one of the ways that they do that is just by reading a paper recently on this topic, by picking on people. Not even to the point of possession, although possession can and does happen in Bible times as it does today. But there's also cases where demons just kind of make their presence known, and sometimes people dismiss it. "Oh, I thought I saw a ghost. Oh, it looked, it sounded like a ghost." It might be a demon, but as a Christian, you can know that your Jesus died and rose, and that he has made you his own, that he has brought you close to himself, and that, realistically, they can't harm you, okay? But verse 37, supposing that they had seen a spirit or supposing that they had seen a ghost, in no way confirms the reality that ghosts exist, because ghosts don't exist. But thinking that they had seen a spirit, I'd have to look at the Greek here, probably pneuma would be my guess, a spirit, just a generic word for spirit, where we get the word for like lungs, or pneumatic, like a pneumatic air hammer, or pneumonia, pneumonia, pneuma is a spirit. When we see that the disciples are afraid that they've seen a spirit, it's not the Bible saying that ghosts are real. It's the Bible recognizing that, some people are just confused by what they see. And anyway, enough of that. Then finally, verses 45 and following, at the end of all the Gospels, there is a version of the Great Commission. And this end of the Gospel of Luke is no different. So all the way through verse 49 still happens on that first Easter Sunday evening. Verses 50 to 53 happen 40 days later at the Mount of Ascension, the Mount of Olives, outside of Jerusalem. So beginning in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead, and that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all Jerusalem, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So the question, we've talked about the historical reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That part is rock solid and would stand up in any court of law. There were witnesses, there was fulfillment, there's proof time and time again, the historical reality of the resurrection of Jesus. But how does that resurrection come to me? How does that resurrection power, what does that resurrection power mean for me? The fact that Jesus rose from the dead is proof that God has forgiven you. We talked about that in Romans chapter 4, especially Romans 4 verse 25. But then how does that resurrection come to me? Jesus talks about verse 47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. This isn't just an intellectual grasping of an idea or a mindset, but that Jesus, who says that his words are spirit and they are life, he has given his word and his sacraments so that his resurrection could be spread abroad, so that the life of Jesus could come to meet yours, which kind of brings us full circle, I suppose. Because as Resurrection Lutheran Church, this is the place. This is the place where the life of Jesus meets yours. This is the place where the preaching of the word and gathering around the sacraments is the place where Jesus gives his life again to you and to me. Not that he lays down his life again, but rather our resurrected Lord says, here, come and live. Here, be washed clean again. And so, of course, you're invited to find us this Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 2250 South Holland Sylvania Road, Maumee. Also follow us on Instagram at Raised with Jesus, or tune in on YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.